And the Drake May versus Mac Jones matchup, if that were to come to fruition,
well, I mean,
would be
Mac Jones still plays for the Jags.
Ratings bonanza. I'm saying by week five, maybe he won't be. I mean, what do you think they're going to address the quarterback situation? They're going to
so
wait
you
two
have
more
the Patriots
weeks?
At 3-0.
Yes,
you have Jacoby Brissett taking over all the reps in practice because they're so good and screw Drake.
Are
May,
you
we're not developing
Andy? Yet. Honestly, do you not understand what a hypothetical is? Like, does that go over your head? Like most things, like is that honestly?
You're
like,
the guy who couldn't understand if we redshirted all quarterbacks. So I think we both.
I understood. I understood that very well. I thought that didn't make much sense, hypothetically or in real
time. No,
you
didn't understand
it
because
you
kept asking dumb questions.
I did not ask dumb. It was a dumb premise, I thought. But either way, this is a very high. I did not have any of that. It was a hypothetical conversation we were having.
You said you just rolled right into it, looking past this week against Seattle, mm-hmm. and then even just giving that game to them against the Jets.
Yes, because the conversation's not about Seattle or even really the Jets. The conversation was about
Jacoby
Brissett.
If Jacoby Brissett throws for 600 yards in each of the next two games and they go 3-0, he'll probably get more reps in practice because they'll probably realize they have the second coming of Tom Brady. We can play all the hypothetical games we want, but there's no shot in hell of it happening, so I don't know why we would.
Okay, and there's a real big shot of everybody getting redshirted in the NFL then, right? So let's keep that one going.
The way quarterbacks are falling by the wayside and being wasted, it becomes a smarter idea by the day.
Okay, let's see when
Caleb stinks.
Let's see when it gets implemented then. If
Will Levis
they're hypothetical
stinks.
Over
Malik,
here.
Malik, what's his name? Malik Willis is starting for the Packers. He's already a bust in one place. First and second round quarterbacks are falling by the wayside left and right. Yes, it's becoming more plausible by the day that these idiot owners should sit down and figure out how to...
And waste a year of eligibility on the contracts.
Sure.
That makes
what does
sense.
It matter if we're all wasting it?
They're not going to want to waste
if it's
it,
all
is the
equal.
Point. They're not going to want to waste a year of the eligibility. That's
Who
why
said
it doesn't
it's
make
wasted?
Sense.
Who said it's wasted?
It's wasted because they don't play. It's a redshirt year. It's your
It's not wasted
it's
if you don't break them. It's not wasted if you don't ruin the quarterbacks
it's
and lose
It's wasted if
them.
They don't play, Andy.
It is not.
Yes, it is. How can
if
you say
everybody's,
it's not?
If everybody's moving forward at the same rate, it's not wasted. You're not losing anything.
Just because they're all wasting the year doesn't mean that they're not wasting the year. They're all doing it. They'd all be wasting a year off the contract. Yes.
No, they're all learning and getting better and improving the
Either
game
way, you like hypotheticals. Don't act like you don't understand hypotheticals.
I love hypotheticals.
I know you do.
Just
you
not
absolutely
ones that make
do.
No sense.
Well, let's get to one right now, which is not hypothetical. This is the Seattle Seahawks, and this is this week's scouting report. All right. Seattle Seahawks coming across the country. Much has been made about this, Andy. They're coming across the country to play on the East Coast. They're getting in at 5 a.m. There's no way any team could ever get up early and win a football game later on in the afternoon is what people are saying. But last week, they had a very unimpressive win, I'd say, over Denver. It was Bo Nix's debut. Didn't have a lead in that game until 10:44 in the third quarter. They got hit with two safeties in one quarter, which I've never seen before. They did mostly dominate the second half. But what was the main takeaway you had from the Seahawks in their week one win over Bo Nix and the Broncos?
Well, I think it's Kenneth Walker. And if he can run the ball the way he did, they probably will have a chance to win some football games. The mirror image thing, the Spider-Man meme as Fitzy put out, that whole thing is very realistic. And, you know, my takeaway is this is your butterfly mirror image enemy. Because you want to do what they want to do, and they want to do what you want to do. And unless somebody comes out and goes, you know what? You know what we could do here? Rope-a-dope them. Why don't we just chuck it deep five straight times? They could probably do that, too, because they're better suited to do that with the freak that is DK.
Yeah, probably. I think the Patriots win was much more impressive than the Seattle win. It was two rookie coaches, but if you're looking at who the opponents were, it's not even close. I mean, the Seahawks were expected to still be around 500 team. Patriots were not expected to be anything, and they beat a team that's expected to be good this year. So I'd say last week went better for the Patriots, but it's still both teams 1-0. The offseason that the Seahawks had. Brand new coach. Let's start right there. The Pete Carroll era, very long era in both professional and college sports, runs its course. All the old guys get kicked to the curb and they bring in the Baltimore Ravens defensive coordinator. And so far, it seems like they have a new philosophy. It seems like the Seahawks are in a similar position, as you just said, to mirror image almost to the Patriots with a new head coach.
And this is an interesting young head coach who also coached for Harbaugh, the other Harbaugh.
Both
at
Harbaughs,
Michigan.
Yeah.
So has a tie into young players, and I think that's part of why he probably has a job, similar to part of why Gerard Mayo has a job, modern players, modern world, and trying to break free from the aged ways of Pete Carroll. Not that they weren't successful, but it had its run, probably was about time to run its course, and it did. McDonald is well-respected in terms of what he did in Baltimore with the talent and the scheme, and if he can do that, it's also Two coaches that replace legendary defensive minds with legendary potential defensive minds, and screw the offense that everybody else wants.
Yes, it's pretty dead on, I'd say. Not a big offseason for this team. They lost Bobby Wagner, who's very old. They signed a bunch of offensive linemen, guys like George Fant, Lakin Tomlinson, mostly depth guys, I would say. Their 16th overall pick in the draft was defensive end Byron Murphy out of Texas. He's kind of a rotation guy, had a couple of tackles against Denver, but they do have a pretty good front of guys there, Leonard Williams and a couple other guys up there at the front who are good at getting after the quarterback. And with a new defensive mindset here, a guy from the Ravens, who the Ravens defense was about as good as it gets in the league last season, it seems like they're getting maybe more out of their defensive front than old Pete the Poodle was getting.
Well, I mean, and that's what you're looking for. Leonard Williams is a dominant physical athlete beast defensive front.
Yeah, he's only ever had one good year, but he did have one. Right. You know, he's expected much more out of him over his career, I'd say.
That is exactly what he is. Yeah. Like, I still think of him as great, even though he's not great, just because he has the pure ability to be great, I believe. But you never know what he's going to become under a new coach with a new scheme and sort of a new mentality. They have a good secondary. The Witherspoon kid is a unique force in the back end that everybody fell in love with in the draft, and he's a hitter and all that. So my guess is they want to be a defensive-minded team with a defensive head coach, not necessarily the Legion of Boom and do it the same way, but I think they want to be a physical environment in Seattle, and that's a great home field advantage. And if you play defense and you have a little bit of that Raven spirit, because the Ravens have been good forever.
Yeah.
Like, they played, and Gerard mentioned that, you know, the comparison, that's what they want to be, tough, physical, hard nose, whatever. I do find it interesting that both these teams, I think, want to be that still.
Yeah, certainly seems that way. Not a lot of offseason drama with this team outside of the coaching switch. It seemed like the McDonald move was very widely praised. Like, I didn't hear a lot of kickback. Like, oh, they should have gone after Bill Belichick or something like that. You didn't hear a lot of that with this. It seemed like the Seahawks, first of all, they're moving on from an old guy, so they're not going to hire another one. But it seemed like everybody was pretty much on board with this hire, despite the fact that it's a defensive coach and an offensive era of the NFL. I think that was very different maybe from the reaction nationally to someone like Gerard Mayo, for instance.
Yeah, definitely a different reaction. Not quite as much spotlight and not as much drama and just a lot more in New England. But you just made me think, where's Pete Carroll?
Yeah, I haven't heard much of him.
He doesn't have
a million media jobs. He's just chilling wherever he is. Yeah.
I don't know that I've seen him since he had that weird press conference where he almost didn't acknowledge that he was fired, and
right,
then he kind of said he still wanted to coach and he might still like, there was a weird dynamic. And I don't know that I've seen him since. Is he doing media? Is he consulting anywhere? Is he, like, I literally have not seen Pete Carroll. Is he alive? Did he die and we didn't even know it? Did they shoot him into space?
I feel like that would have hit the ticker at some point.
I feel like it would have.
Right? I don't know. But yeah, you don't see much. You don't see really too much about Pete Carroll going on. Certainly doesn't have a million media jobs like Bill Belichick.
And he's got more personality, more energy.
That's
right?
True.
Like, in theory, I know he doesn't have the resume, but he's a national championship winning
head coach.
Much
more personality than Bill
Belichick.
Right.
Shouldn't he be doing media somewhere? Or shouldn't he be doing something?
Yeah, you would think so. Players to watch, anybody on your radar? There's the trio of wide receivers. They got a good trio of cornerbacks, too. You mentioned Leonard Williams. Who's who you got your eyes peeled for?
Definitely Witherspoon, just because this will sort of be my first time to see him in the NFL. I liked him coming out. I wasn't quite as high, honestly, as most people were on him. And so I want to see what he looks like up close and personal in an actual game, watch him for 60 minutes. And then DK Metcalf, he's a freak. He is just a one-of-one kind of guy that I will be interested to see how they use Christian Gonzalez in this game. Do they match him up with Metcalf? Do they, because they go three deep, sort of, although Smith and Jigba has been a disappointment
so far, yeah.
And I know he tried to blame it on my boy Shane Waldron, but maybe it's just you. Maybe you suck. Maybe you're not as good as you thought you were coming out of Ohio State. But do the Patriots put Gonzalez just on one side? Does he match up with anybody? How do they use him against those receivers?
Yeah, it's a good question. All right, let's get to the final part of the scouting report here, and that is current and former Patriots, or former Patriots, I should say, who are on this team. There's only one. There's only one former Patriot currently on the Seattle Seahawks roster. You know who it is?
Farrell Brown, and he's injured.
That's correct.
He missed some practice time.
Farrell Brown, the tight end, who had one of the only touchdown passes that Mac Jones ever threw, it seemed like, the only play that ever worked. And he is now a Seattle Seahawk, but probably won't play this weekend. Who are the best all-time Patriots/Seattle Seahawks, played for both teams? I can think of a handful that I would put on that team. But you got any?
So one has to be a former coworker of ours, Christian Fourier.
Christian Fourier, absolutely. He's your starting tight end on this team.
One of your starting wide receivers would have to be Deion Branch.
Yep, Deion Branch.
I know he wasn't great in Seattle, but he was still good, and I believe was responsible for injecting that weird fluorescent green into their color scheme. He got gloves made, and I think the team liked it so much that they started using it.
Really? I didn't know that.
I believe that's the urban legend.
It's a nice little piece of trivia. There's also Alan Branch. Alan Branch played for the Seahawks.
Oh, yeah. Big old thing.
Nice DT. Brandon Browner, who ended up having some trouble after his career ended, but he had a great won Super Bowls with both teams, the Patriots and the Seahawks. There's one quarterback in NFL history that played for both the Patriots and for the Seattle Seahawks. I'll give you a chance to guess this, but I doubt you're going to get it.
I got nothing.
John Freeze, who was ahead of Brady in the 2001 depth chart on the Patriots, played for the Seattle Seahawks back in early 90s, 95 to 1998. There's also Lawyer Malloy, who'd be my starting safety, and a couple other guys there as well.
Yep.
But there you go. There is your Seattle Seahawks scouting report here, courtesy of your friends, Host 1 and Host 2 on WEEI Afternoon.